Neris Griffiths, leader and founder of Chatterround, has retired from this role, but she recently turned the Chatterround tables and told me her story of the early days and her reflections on some of the interviews. Today, it's my pleasure to be talking to someone whose voice will be very familiar to Chatterround listeners, and that's Neris Griffiths. Neris, you've recently retired from Chatterround, and I think now is a good time to look back and take stock of some of this long-standing programme. So can you tell me, Neris, why was Chatterround set up?
Chatterround was set up because when, many, many years ago, they got money from the lottery, they said they would not only have Chatterbox, but they would have some other output. And this was also set up at about the same time as a listeners panel was set up. So first of all, I decided when I moved back to Norwich that I'd like to get involved with something like Chatterround. So I phoned up thinking, you know, as I'd been in the amateur stage and I'd lectured a lot, my voice would be suitable. So I spoke to Meg Magridge, but she said, oh, no, we don't need any more readers. What have you done? So I sort of said, well, I've been a lecturer and etc. Oh, were you at UEA? No, I said, I was at the food research. Oh, she said, do you know my friend? And that was it. So she said, well, come in on Thursday, which is the day it always at Chatterbox we talk to new people. And I went in, and obviously I'd been looked up and I'd been told, oh, well, yes, she can do things on her own, you know. So the first thing I was asked, we need a magazine. Would you put a programme together and come along to the next committee meeting? So that was no brother of mine. I was always used to putting programmes together for research. So went along and it was generally approved, and I was told, right, well, you better get this started, hadn't you? So put together these ideas, and we came out with our first edition, 18 years ago, something like that. And from there, we got feedback from the listeners panel, who told us what they liked and what they didn't like. And yes, they liked all the sort of things we were following, which was things to do with architecture and things about Norwich and history of companies like, you know, obviously Coleman's and that sort of thing, and the brewery. And also we used to have one of the very good readers who also was a Madam Market player who used to read a ghost story. And then over the time things changed and we were getting back from the listeners about what they liked and what they didn't like. So right from the beginning we were reacting on what was suggested to us.
And how did it actually work?
Well, to start off with, I was the sort of editor, but I also did interviews. And there was another very, very well-known person, Mark Smith, who came along and was also did interviews. And there were two other fellows that were involved, and they had different particular areas. One liked doing things on buildings and people, and the other one very interested in on walks. So did walks all along the river, all the places you could now go to along the river. And then from then, we had to sort of edit it down, or I did in the first instance, to fit on to a 60-minute tape. Okay. And so sometimes you had to throw away too much of an interview because you had too much material.
So do you have any special memories of particular interviews on Chatterround?
Oh, yes, there were a lot of them. I found we learned an awful lot as individuals, even if we weren't actually doing the interviews. But there were so many interesting things happening. There were a lot of charities we were involved in. One I particularly remember was Nelson's Journey, which is it still exists as a charity. This worked with children that had lost parents and things like that. And then one I remember particularly, because I'd actually worked with her when she was a scientist, was a couple of interviews with Brenda Arthur. First of all, that when she was sheriff, when she came along all split in her chain and everything to interview me at home, because there was nowhere I could find to park near the city hall. And then later on, when she was leader, I didn't manage to get her when she was Lord Mayor. I think it was sort of about the time I retired. And then there was a very interesting interview. Removal companies, you know, that take one's furniture from one place to another. Interviewed a fellow from Abel's, and he was very much involved in the training, years of training that has to go in to moving furniture. And he was particularly interested in talking about some work they'd done at in London at the Savoy Hotel when it was being refitted. And all this beautiful furniture and all the light fittings and everything like that had to be carefully packed up and moved out before they could be moved back in. And, it, you know, removal's interesting. Yes, very interesting. And, well, we had other special editions. We did an Olympic edition in 2012, because quite a number of either people working for Chatterbox or people we knew had been there. For instance, the chairman at the time, Brian, he'd been down to watch that magnificent Saturday when we won so many gold medals. And then someone else was a nurse there. And then someone that Marnie, who worked on the magazine a lot, she knew through the garage, who was one of the tutors there, was one of the dancers there. So that made a really interesting addition.
So, Chatterround's been going for 18 years now. How would you say it's changed in that time?
Well, a lot, and particularly from the editorial point of view, because, well, as I said, I started just me, and then I had... Pat came in, and then later on Marnie came in, so there were two of us. But to begin with, when we were on tape, everything had to be cut down to 60 minutes, including nearly a minute of music at the beginning and the end. Oh, I should just mention the music, because it's on a street organ. I happened to know Edward Murray Harvey, who had written this particular, or adapted this particular music, so he gave us permission to use it, and that's all in the archives, really, that sort of thing. So we had to cut it down to an hour, and that was really hard work and took a lot of listening and re-listening and then cutting out and putting in lines when you had to come in and go out, and that was a real bore. But then, before Chatterbox went digital, we did on Chatterround, because we were using a little Sony mini disc recorder. Very convenient, very easy to use, and you could slip it into a pocket. So, you know, if you were going anywhere you thought might be interesting, Mark particularly would have it with him and be recording all sorts of things. And that was very successful. But the only problem was when Chatterbox as a whole went digital, it didn't work in with the computer program that was used. So the our recording engineer, Tim Edwards at the time, used to have to put it across in real time. But that gave us much more elbow room. So if we found an interesting interview that went a bit longer, well, we could carry it. It didn't matter if it was, we'd ask for 10 minutes, if it was 14 minutes. And occasionally, the interviews got so interesting that we would go on and on and on and on and have to... I must particularly mention here the first interview I ever did with Mike and Tricia Blythe when they went to Canada. And it was so fascinating that ended up in being in three editions of Chatterround as we cut it down.
Neris, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you today. And I'm sure that Chatterround listeners... would like to join me in wishing you a very happy retirement.
Thank you very much, and we hope that you personally enjoy editing and working on, and all the new people that are working on Chatterround. All the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Neris Griffiths, who has retired from her role at Chatterround.